Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Alrighty, we are back, and we're going to listen to a clip. And again, I wanted to tell the folks everything that you're going to hear in this clip, and this clip is by a People's Voice report. It's very good. Everything that you're going to hear and that we reported back in 2008. So it's been 15 years, and now this is a lot of this stuff is just coming out. People are just now learning a lot of what we reported on back then. So go ahead and take it away, Kyle.
In the early 2000s, there was a string of execution-style murders in a large Midwestern city. The cases were never solved. At the time, the media reported that the police had no suspects and the victims were all gay black men. They were mostly middle-class professionals, some of them with a wife and children at home. The victims had one other thing in common. They were all members of the same social circle, a social circle that included a young, fast-rising political star. In reality, the police did have a suspect. The problem for them was the suspect was the fast-rising young political star. The young politician had very powerful people behind him who were clearing the path for him to run for the highest office in the land. The politician was never charged, let alone questioned by the police, and the media chose never to speak about it again. If the mainstream media aren't going to do their job and report on the news, then we're going to have to do it for them. Barack Obama was selected to be the president by the globalist elite. So it should come as no surprise that the mainstream media have been protecting him and covering up his scandals throughout his entire career. As a result, Obama was allowed to be the fakest president in history, with a media that fawned over his every word, with only the occasional dropped hint regarding the truth about the president's double life.
New this morning, another magazine cover causing some controversy.
This one is about President Obama after he announced his public support for same-sex marriage last week. Here's the picture on the cover of Newsweek this week. Eyewitness News reporter Nicole Estefan joins us live in the newsroom now with more on the controversy.
Good morning. Newsweek's latest cover set to hit stands in about a week, and no doubt it will spawn some conversation here. It declares Barack Obama as, quote, the first gay president. Obama's face is pictured looking skyward, complete with a rainbow halo. The accompanying article analyzes the president's backing of gay marriage.
But in 2023, there are enough people in the world who have woken up to the truth about the globalist elites, and now they are demanding the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
You know, in 2008, it became really clear that Barack Obama had been having sex with men and smoking crack. And a guy came forward, Larry Sinclair, and said, I'll sign an affidavit. And he did. I'll take a lie detector. And he did. I smoked crack with Barack Obama and had sex with him. Well, that was obviously true. Nobody reported it, not because they were squeamish about sex or drugs, but because the Obama campaign said anyone who reports on this gets no access to the Obama campaign.
Back in 2008, Larry Sinclair said that he had no desire to come forward and talk about the sordid activities he got up to with Obama and other Chicago men in the early 2000s. But he felt he simply had to warn the world about this man who was running for president. Why? Because the rest of the gay men in Obama's close-knit circle group had begun dying in very suspicious circumstances.
On November 6, 1999, after picking me up at the hotel in Gurnee, and this is significant, Mr. Mutani used his cell phone to make a call. That call was made to then Illinois State Senator Barack Obama to set up an introduction between myself and Senator Obama. Upon arriving at the bar and exiting the limo, Senator Obama was standing next to Mr. Mutani, and I was introduced to Senator Obama by name. Later that evening in a bar, which I believe was called Alibis, and I state believe because I have failed so far to get Citigroup to provide the credit card receipts that has the actual name. I mentioned I could use a line or two to wake up. Senator Obama asked me if I was referring to coke, and I stated I was. After stating I was, Obama stated he could purchase cocaine for me and then made a telephone call. This, too, was significant from a cell phone. to a presently unknown individual during which Senator Obama arranged the cocaine purchase. Senator Obama and I then departed the bar in my limousine and proceeded to an unknown location where Senator Obama exited the limousine with $250, which was provided to him by me. Returned a short while later with an 8-ball of cocaine, which he gave to me. I did ingest a couple of lines of cocaine, and shortly thereafter, Senator Obama produced a glass cylinder pipe and packet of crack cocaine from his pocket. Obama then smoked the crack cocaine. I performed fellatio on Senator Obama in the limousine during the time Senator Obama was smoking crack cocaine, after which I had the driver take me to my hotel, the Comfort Suites, Gurnee, Illinois. The following day, November 7th, 1999, Senator Obama appeared at my hotel room, unannounced, uninvited, where we again ingested cocaine and I again performed fellatio on Senator Obama. In late September to early October 2007, I received a call from a male who identified himself as a Mr. Young, stating he was calling in regards to calls I had made to the Obama campaign. The first call was in fact an attempt by Mr. Young to obtain from me the identities of anyone I had contacted concerning my 1999 allegations against Senator Obama. The first call shocked me in that this Mr. Young asked me why I had not asked Senator Obama to disclose the sexual encounters I had with Mr. Obama in 1999. I was shocked as I had never mentioned to the campaign or anyone working for the campaign any sexual encounters, as my call was prompted by drug allegations only. In mid to late October 2007, I received a second call from this Mr. Young, at which time I clearly became aware that this individual was personally involved with Senator Obama rather than just an employee of his campaign. The tone of the conversation had a sexual nature. Mr. Young did not once advise me how he obtained my phone number, which by this time had now changed to a Delaware number. In late October 2007, I received a text message from the gentleman identified as Mr. Young, in which he stated he was intimately involved with Senator Obama and that Obama was discussing with him and his pastor how to publicly acknowledge Senator Obama's drug use in 1999, and that Obama wanted to be sure I had not discussed the sexual encounters or drug incidents with any media at that time. In mid to late November 2007, in another text message from Mr. Young, he advised me that Senator Obama will publicly correct his statement as to the last time he used drugs, and I did not need to concern myself with publicly disclosing it myself. The last contact I had with Mr. Young was in early December 2007, when he made it clear to me that Senator Obama had no intentions of publicly acknowledging his 1999 use of crack cocaine, and that Mr. Young was in fact doing nothing more than milking information from me for Senator Obama's use. I later learned that A. Donald Young, the choir director of Reverend Wright's Trinity United Church of Christ, Obama's now former church, and who was openly homosexual, learned that he was murdered on December 23rd of 2007.
Obama was a member of Jeremiah Wright's Trinity Church for 20 years. Wright was briefly the subject of controversy in 2008 when ABC News revealed his anti-American sermons included instructions for black Americans to stop singing God Bless America and start singing God Damn America. Let's face it, it isn't hard to imagine Barack Obama singing God Damn America with one hand on his heart while making eyes with homosexual men. After all, this is the man who told an ex-girlfriend that he dreamed of making love to men daily. But ABC should have investigated further, because independent journalists spoke to several well-placed sources in Chicago's gay community, as well as political sources in the city, who reported that Wright was essentially running a matchmaking service for gay married black professional members of the church, including businessmen, lawyers, and politicians. By all accounts, the young Barack Obama had a very active social life, the kind of social life that he and his elite handlers didn't want America knowing about when he was running for president in 2008. That's when gay men with intimate connections to Barack Obama began dropping dead. Three homosexual members of Obama's Trinity Church conveniently died within 6 weeks of each other when Obama was running for president. Larry Bland was murdered execution style on November the 17th, 2007. Nate Spencer supposedly died of various exotic illnesses, including HIV. And Donald Young was murdered execution style on December the 24th, 2007. Larry Sinclair wasn't the only one who pointed the finger of blame at Obama. Young's mother spoke out about her suspicions that her son was murdered to protect Obama's reputation and assure his political future as president. But she was quickly silenced by the establishment. But it gets even worse. The charges laid against Obama don't stop at sex, drugs and murder. It appears the liberal golden boy, handpicked by the elite, became even darker as he gained more power. After this quick break, we'll reveal exactly why Obama was the perfect compromise candidate for the globalist elite. There is more than enough evidence to suggest that Obama, who was handpicked by the globalist elite to serve as US president, is not the kind of man who should be left in the same room with young children. Let's review what we know. WikiLeaks emails reveal that Obama spent a fortune ordering so-called hot dogs to the White House for a private party during his presidency. I think Obama spent about $65,000 of the taxpayers' money flying in pizza dogs from Chicago for a private party at the White House not long ago. Assume we are using the same channels. Stratfor employee Fred Burton wrote in an email posted to WikiLeaks' The Global Intelligence Files, which is very strange considering outside food is not allowed to be brought into the White House. When visiting chefs cook there, they can't bring in pre-prepared sauces, as all ingredients must be obtained by the kitchen staff through secret and secure sources. So why was Obama personally ordering pizza and hot dogs? And why were they so expensive? According to the FBI, pizza is code word for young girls, hot dogs for young boys, and they don't come cheap. Democrats and the mainstream media worked overtime on damage limitation after Obama was exposed ordering items on the FBI's list of pedophile code words. As you may have guessed, there are no publicly available images or information about this hot dog and pizza party. Should we be surprised? This is the man who, in one of his last acts as president, took the opportunity to remove 500,000 pedophiles from background check databases. The People's Voice busted open the Obama story months ago, exposing the former president's hidden Pizzagate connections. The viral report caused a scandal, with liberal news outlets threatening us with fact checks and blacklisting us on social media networks. But we held strong and stood behind our reporting. Why? Because it's important. As a consequence, a series of whistleblowers from politics and entertainment have come forward with information and evidence linking many of the most powerful figures in America, including Obama, to the worst crimes imaginable. Crimes against our children. The globalist elite get off in hiding in plain sight, which is the only way to understand why Obama also publicly exchanged a children's friendship bracelet with a paedophilia-themed pizza charm on it with the then-Vice President, Joe Biden. According to the mainstream media, two men sharing a bracelet, which was later confirmed by the FBI to contain paedophilia symbols, is completely normal. They also claim that Biden's daughter Ashley's teenage diary, which outs her father as a predatory paedophile, is nothing to get hot and bothered about. For years, the Obamas were granted a free pass by the press, who considered them to be an untouchable golden couple. During this period, the Obamas were doing their worst from within the White House, dividing the nation and selling America out to the global elite. But the tide has turned, and we are determined to expose the Obamas as the frauds and criminals they are. Now, the Obamas are cleaning house, attempting to cover their tracks as independent investigators continue to expose their crimes and cover-ups.
Alrighty, folks. You know, NBC, ABC, CBS, they're all a part of this. And again, within the collective, within the what they call the Democratic Party, we call it the collective, it's communism. Pedophilia is rampant, okay? It's rampant. And as far as I'm concerned, pedophilia is the norm. It's the norm within the ranks. And I'm talking about those, the senators and the congressmen especially. If you look at how many of them were involved with Epstein, and we see Bill Gates is really big in that area. We see Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton very, very big in that area. So, and we talked about all of this stuff here. Again, all the way back in 2008, we were telling you this. And then, of course, you know, by God's grace, I'm almost afraid to say it, okay? But we haven't been tormented, you know, or recently, in the last month or so, like we have been in the past, by the opposition trying to take us down. And you know, like MoveOn.org and the others tried to get petitions. They tried everything, but, you know, everything you can imagine to get us off the air, but we're still here by God's grace. And so...
Yeah, they found out that in good times, the church gets slack. They get, off guard. They get comfortable. But under persecution, that's when the church seems to thrive the most.
Well, you know, here's a good example of what I'm talking about. Your government at work, U.S. politics, is what the name of the article here is by. It's by World News Daily. And here, it's from today. Regime wants to treat every Trump supporter like this. Feds seek prison time for talk show host for ripping stolen 2020 election. It's for doing exactly what we do here. I mean, we have gone after and provided proof after proof after proof after proof after proof of this stolen election. And of course, Brett Baer hasn't been able to provide any proof that it wasn't stolen. You know, even though he came out and Smith and all of those people, of course, you spent all of those at CNN, PMSNBC, ABC, and all the rest. But we brought out tons of proof. I mean, tons and tons and tons of documentation, and none of them challenged it, okay? But here, InfoWars host Owen Shore pleaded guilty in June to a single Class A misdemeanor of entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds on January 6th. The highly talented journalist was initially charged in August 2021, 8 months after remaining outside the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. After nearly 2 years of fighting charges related to his presence outside the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, Owen made the decision to plead guilty to a lesser charge. Shoyer allowed the government to review his social media accounts, likely looking for any scrap of incriminating wrongthink that they could find. Owen stood outside the U.S. Capitol. Owen and Alex Jones warned people about going inside the Capitol. They knew it was a setup. Instead of being awarded medals for their actions that day, the regime arrested Owen months later on a bogus charge. After all, he is a Trump supporter. And so the DOJ, they're not Department of Justice by any means. Prosecutors sought 120 days of prison times for Owen. They want him persecuted for speech crimes. And folks, let me tell you something. Where are the real criminals? Do not fool yourself. The regime wants to treat every Trump supporter like this. They want to jail all of us, and they will do just that if we let them. And he's absolutely right, and this is why we've been telling people. That's why at that meeting last night, the Tea Party meeting, all the speakers there made it very clear, folks, that there's no more time for apathy or ignorance. If people don't wake up and wake up soon, it's going to be too late for them, and then they're going to wish that they had. And they can't depend upon those of us that are activists. Everybody's got to do their part because we're in a war against the Antichrist forces out there. And so, here, President Trump addresses vaccine adverse events for the first time, calls on Big Pharma to disclose safety data immediately. President Trump made it clear that his administration would not be implementing shutdowns. Mr. President, wait a minute. Okay, got to turn the page. There you go. He goes on to say, well, we do not do shutdowns, Trump says. For one thing, and it sounds to me like if something coming back, they blame everything, Trump said, expressing skepticism toward the notion that the ongoing health crisis was solely due to COVID-19. We know that. This is, you got nothing. It's about controlling us. It's about controlling. And the Deathocrats want to come back, and they want to bring the masks back. It's about controlling. And as far as I'm concerned, I want the Democrats to wear masks. I think it would be an improvement on them. They say it's COVID because they love using the word COVID. If you have a flu season, they call it COVID. We had that then too. By the way, you had a lot of flu. You had a lot of this. And they like to say everything's COVID. But let's see what happens. I mean, there could be something happening, Trump added. In a direct rebuke of Biden's handling of the virus, Trump said, "I always said Biden did a lousy job with COVID, and he did do a lousy job. We handed him over a great situation, and a lot of stupid decisions were being made, especially with the spending of money and what they were doing." Tudor Dixon shifted the conversation towards Biden's announcement to fund a new vaccine. She questioned Trump on the transparency of vaccine data, citing reports of myocarditis and blood clots and other adverse events. Joe Biden has announced that he's going to be funding a new vaccine. He wants everyone to get this vaccine, said Dixon. And we are hearing a lot of complaints about vaccine injury, to say a lot. It's like an understatement. Numerous pharmaceutical companies have refused to release their data on vaccine side effects, but we've seen cases of myocarditis, blood clots, heart attacks, and they're increasing, and the research has never been released. We told you, everything we told you was going to happen is happening now out there. People are dying off. In fact, it's over a million. We're a million more people, over a million more people have died than the average, what was supposed to happen because of these shots. And so, folks, but remember, your friends at NBC, ABC, and CBS, you can trust in them betraying you. You can trust in them doing exactly what they're told by the woke, by their woke masters. All righty. Hey, here's some good news for a change. State tries to silence pro-lifers and now has to pay massive amounts. I'll do this article, but I'm going to open the phone lines, Hal. And the phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. A state censorship scheme that targeted pro-life message of the members of the Right to Life of Central California has backfired. Good. And now the state has agreed to pay $192,706 in lawyers' fees for a court case that challenged the discriminatory laws. Women faced unplanned pregnancies deserve to have a full support and resources available to them when they choose life for their unborn children. Yet the state of California unconstitutionally tried to silence the voices of those advocating on their behalf, explained lawyer ADF Denise Hale, American Defense Fund, I guess. Alrighty.
You know, I hope people aren't going to be dumb enough to start wearing those masks again. You know, the human heart screams for oxygen, and when them people wear those masks, they're giving their heart carbon dioxide instead, which is running down their health. And they sit inside those masks. They got they found what they called the black tube parasites that they're like in a coma state until you start breathing your exhaled air on them, and then they come alive. And they're booby trapped. You know, the sickest people I've seen are people that are always wearing those stupid masks.
Well, we just did an article here this week about exactly that. And that was put out by frontline doctors. And I'm looking to see if we still have one of those articles here. And they were telling you just how dangerous and how much damage those masks caused. Even the RN95. Let me see. That's not it. I was hoping to find that same article again. But it was really a good article exposing that. But anyhow, let me finish this article on the pro-life thing. It says here, the report explained the pro-abortion state's agenda put a bullseye on Right to Life's ability to peaceably offer charitable services to women in need on the public sidewalk and street outside its own buildings, even in its own parking lot. It's because the organization is located adjacent to planned predators, the most wicked, evil, ungodly, unclean, creeping, crawling purveyor of death. Planned Parenthood has killed, murdered more innocent people than any army in the world. And anyone and everyone has got anything to do with Planned Parenthood or unclean people. They are unclean people, and hell is going to be, hell's mouth is wide open for these wicked people of Planned Parenthood. They've done the most wicked, evil, ungodly, gross things you can imagine there. And so, there you go. But White to Life won that one. They made the state pay $192,706. Praise the good Lord. Every now and then, our side wins one, huh?
That's right. You know, people just got to realize that America is under attack. And the way they're attacking us is with this medical stuff where they're trying to say, we're looking out for you. But like you said, it's all a matter of control, and they're murdering people with these drugs and everything they're coming out with faster than grease slick lightning. And the news media, which is the prostitute press, is going along with it.
Oh, absolutely. They're a major part of it. But you know what? They're no longer mainstream anymore. There are now a lot more of us than them out there. People are going more and more. More and more people are getting, actually more people get their news from AM talk radio. This is why they're trying to shut AM talk radio down. And more people are getting their news from AM talk radio today. And more programs like this one are popping up. And then you've got all of those on the internet that are popping up. So, NBC, ABC, CBS, even though they're virtually, they hold the line to the communist propaganda, they're losing credibility. I mean, they're losing credibility on a massive scale. In other words, people are seeing, you know, looking at what's really happening. Just like all of these people, these young people that are dying from these heart attacks, you know, we played a clip, I think it was last week, and it went through that all of these young athletes left, you know, about over 100% higher than it's been in the past, dying. And more of it comes out, too, of these women, the young women who have died after giving birth. And, again, how many people are dying from these shots, from the what they call vaccines, with their bioweapons. And so, anyhow, this is why the left is so worried. I mean, they are really very, very concerned because people are waking up. And not only that, but a lot of the woke corporations now are backing away. They're saying if you go woke, you go broke. And they're backing away. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and take a call before we go to a break. Alan, you're in the air. Hello, Alan.
Hi, Pastor Ernie. Thank you so much for taking my call this evening. I very cautiously even put this out there. My dad was a Baptist preacher, and I've always been taught that blessed are the peacekeepers. But I semi-professionally shoot shotguns, and I travel all over the place doing so. And in recent conversations, I've heard a lot of the older, mature men talk about they're getting out some of their old guns and weaponry, cleaning them up, literally getting them ready. They said, you young men still have your families and a lot to live for, but we've lived the best years of our lives, and if they rip off another election and or unjustly lock up President Trump, we are ready to go to war, literally, if necessary. Talking isn't doing anything. Protesting isn't doing anything. They couldn't care less. And there are a lot of militia groups, as you guys well know, I'm sure, are starting to form back up. But these men are saying, we've lived the best years of our lives. We've already served in the armed forces. And too many good men and women have died to defend our liberty and freedoms. And we owe it to them to stand up for what they have already hard fought for. So like I said, I cautiously even call in with that message. But, I mean, it's getting really serious here, and it's a fine line on what our responsibility is to do whatever it takes to hold the line.
Let me respond to what you just said because we're coming up to a break, but you're
– okay.
You're right. Okay, those people you're talking about, and these are veterans. I know them all, so many of my friends. We all feel that way. Yep. We'd rather die on our feet than live on our knees. And we know that the opposition is getting in a panic, and and we've lived our lives. We're ready to fight. You know, we've defended this country, and we've seen it taken over. We do not have a two-party system. There's no more Democrats. These are communists. They are communists to the bone. They are anti-God, anti-American, and they want to take away our freedom. And the Democratic Party right here in America is more of a danger, more of a threat and a danger to our life and liberty than the Chinese or the Russians. But we'll be back right after this.
I hear that train a-coming. It's coming around the bend. That train, it's called judgment, and it's here because of sin. You made the wrong decision. Yes, you rejected Christ. Now that train is arriving, and it's a terrifying sight. There is no use in running. There is no place to go. Now you know you're hurt. You're reaping what you sow. You turned your back on Jesus. Didn't care why he died. But now you're really caring. Just listen to you cry. Dying. It's happening near and far. They're waiting now for judgment, and their sins as black as tar. You know you had it coming. You know you can't be free. It's a horrible place to be in, such torment and misery. Now call on the name of Jesus. Do it while there's time. He's your only hope now. You're at the end of the line. You may not see tomorrow. Your time is running out. Once you're in that hellfire, there ain't no getting out.
And you can take that to the bank, folks. Once you get to hell, ain't no getting out, okay? You don't want to get there. Pastor Howell's going to tell you later on how you can avoid that. But I got to tell you this. The doers of the Word Baptist Church, we have some people at that church that believe in prayer. They really do believe in prayer. And tomorrow morning, Lord's willing, we're going to be there as we do every Thursday morning. We gather in prayer, doers of the Word, at 9 o'clock in the morning. And we usually pray all the way through to about noon, but we have a lot of you out there listening. A lot of you send prayer requests. You ask if we could pray for this, pray for that, and we do that. We really do. I mean, we're really big on prayer. And so, again, those there, doers of the Word, and if you're out there listening and you're close by and you actually do believe in prayer, the address is 14781, 14781 Sperry. That's Sperry Road, and that's in Newberry, Newbury, Ohio. And, folks, 44065, it's right at the corners of Sperry Road and Route 87. Route 87 and Sperry Road, right at the corner. It's under an 800-foot tower there. Doers of the Word, Lord's willing, we'll be there tomorrow morning in prayer. And so, if you feel the way we do, if you feel America is needs prayer, and by the way, all you folks that send in your prayer requests, we go through it. We every single one of them we pray for. And if you have prayer requests, you need to get them into the office. In other words, if you pray, if you call, You need to get them in there by 8 o'clock in the morning. And that number that you would call would be 440-338-1367. 440-338-1367. And so we have Timothy. Timothy's in the air. Hey, Timothy.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
I know that I usually call a little bit later. I'm calling early, so there's, I know there's other people behind me. There's a few things I wanted to say. Ever since I heard the very first time the name Barack Obama, and I watched I don't know the man personally. All I know is what I saw and what I heard. And in my spirit, I knew that that was the spawn of Satan. And he, you'll know them by their fruits. And as things have played out, my feelings were correct. And so that man is to be kept at arm's length by everyone that comes in contact with that person. And he is definitely retrobate. He's the spirit of the Antichrist, in my opinion. And that's all I'm going to say about that. And he's definitely, he says the quiet parts out loud. He's probably in the basement at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, for all we know, because he said the quiet part out loud. Chris Christie said the quiet part out loud, and all the other Uniparty people and rhinos and whatnot. And that's a whole other, he can spend hours on that. I wanted to bring up Scott Atlas, one of the greatest moves I think that Donald Trump did in the midst of the snake pit while we were going through from December of 2019. Actually, if you go all the way back to event 201 in October of 2019, all the way up till the election in 2020, that one of the smartest moves he made was bringing Scott Atlas in the middle of all this craziness going on and the vipers and whatnot. And if you read and watch the videos and read articles from Scott Atlas ever since he came on board, I think it was July or something like that of that year, that he talks about the masks, he talks about this, he talks about that. Even when they had him on Fox and they had him on, I always wanted to listen to everything that the guy said because he was spot on. And to this day, they try to denounce him, but you cannot denounce him. He is a truth teller. He's always been a truth teller, and the guy sticks to his guns. When people try to talk over him or try to cut him off, he makes his voice heard. So I give him a lot of credit. And people like Dr. Tenpenny, I pray, ever since I heard the news, I'm praying that God will restore her license. He will give back what the locust has taken from her and the devourer. And Elaine Connolly, we pray for her good health and that God keeps her body solid and her mind solid and she can continue to do it until the day of Christ Jesus.
Well, you know, they wanted to take Elaine's license too, but they just renewed him yesterday. So,
hallelujah. So, the other thing I wanted to throw out there is there's, you read the word, you want to stand on things every day in the midst of all this craziness. I say let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Romans 1 about the reprobates. And, the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. It says in Romans 1 Proverbs 9:10, in Romans 1, and in Revelation, all throughout Revelation, we are victorious. We just need to stand fast, as you always say, hold true to the King James Bible, and continue preaching the truth. Repent or perish. Repent or perish.
You got it. All righty. All righty, thank you very much. Let's go to, we have Cliff. Hey, Cliff, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Right. I want to get to just two verses from Jeremiah to ask you about, but two quick things. One is there's a free audio book on the political audio books. It's called Planet of Slums. It's about 7 hours. The guy that reads it is good. But I would recommend it because it shows how some of these different cities have been basically calling the poor people trash and in some cases burning them out in places like Burma, Mandalay, and Jakarta, basically as a land grab. In other words, just get these people out of town.
In Maui?
Well, no, this predates all of this.
But I know, but
it shows you that it was a tactic. If they wanted, for example, in Jakarta or Mandalay, they wanted to build these golf courses for the elite, you know, to come in and make it a tourist attraction. So they just started, for example, shooting. They gave the cops, let's just shoot at these people and get rid of these people in slums. So that's the same mentality, I think, that lends into what might have happened with Maui. So another quick thing is that clip you played about the nanoparticles. That seems to be a big weapon in the depopulation. Again, I refer to the Sergeant Reports podcast, episode 577. There's a woman, Dr. Anna, who's also a PhD chemist, that's looking at. She says she's getting the best results for cleansing the blood of nanoparticles with oral doses, high doses of vitamin C. So I'd recommend listening to that. Now, the two verses that relate, I think, are Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 16, and Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 14. Both use the word touch. Just get your opinion on that.
Okay, you said Jeremiah 1:16?
Right, and Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 14.
I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their hands. I think it says, it means exactly what it says there when he tells you, I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness. In other words, that's the same word as, you know, that we use, grasping, is what he means. He's going to get a hold of their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods. So, anyhow, he's going after.
Yeah, and then you have that touch word in chapter 12, verse 14. And it seems like this is similar to touch not my anointed or their doings. So what do you think of that? And do you think those verses relate? You
know, thus saith the Lord, against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. Well, again, it's the same thing. He's telling you that the Lord against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance. Okay, in other words, that have come against, who have grasped or hit or come upon Israel, his people. So, assaulted. You might even use the word assaulted my people. Committed this. That's what he's referring to. Just like he says, touch not my anointed. Touch not my anointed. It's a good thing to listen to, pay close to. We've seen this throughout the years. People that have come against God's anointed, how in the past they paid an awful price many times. In fact, I preached a message on that just recently. In my own life, my own experience here, Cliff, I've had where wasn't anything I've done, but we've had people that have come against me in this ministry. And some of them set traps and set snares. And what has happened is in every single case, God has dealt with them. In every single case, God has dealt with those people that have come against me. And so, there you go. He'll take care of that. All right, let's go to Jim and Dayton. How much time do I have? Okay, let's go to, this will be the last call, Jim and Dayton. Jim, you're in the air.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Ernie. I was listening to the station earlier today, and a gentleman was talking about how they're going after Trump for the 14th Amendment, Section 3 or something, but that won't, he hasn't been convicted of anything. So
No, that is going to get to the Supreme Court. He'll have to get it to the, and they'll throw that out so quick.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking. They don't have a chance.
No.
Listened to that X-22 report. That guy seems like a good patriot. Dave,
just
tells you, yeah, it's a podcast of some sort.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's a good guy. He's a good patriot, good Christian, and fills you in on a lot of stuff that you don't really catch on the regular fake news. They won't say it, you know. They won't tell you anything.
We're growing in number. There's more and more of us out there. This is what's got the collective. The collective is what's got them very worried because the what they call the mainstream is losing control. They don't have the control they once had.
Right, and they're panicking. But I believe Trump's got a good plan, and he's going to go after every single one of them. He just wants the people to see it.
Yeah, Trump is a strategist. He's a strategist, all right.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, he don't get into nothing before he plans it, you know. Make sure he's got a good plan, and I just will, you know, pray for him every day and keep him safe is the main thing, you know.
The very fact that he was, that with all that they've been after him, the way they've been after him, and he was still able to accomplish. See, this is why it is so important, because what they've done to him, they've done to us. In other words, he was the fellow we voted for, and this is why I've got these. I'm hearing some of these people out there supposedly on our side saying, "Well, Trump's got a lot of baggage. We should go to one of the others." Boy, don't you know? Don't say that in front of me. You better not, because I'm going to go loose on you if you do that. Because we have to. We have to have Trump's back. Trump had our back, and we have to have his back.
Exactly. I hear a lot of people say that about his luggage. So what? He was there for us and made it everything, took care of everything, and Biden screwed it all up because, you know, it's like a 16-year plan that Obama started to destroy this country.
Biden and Obama work for the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah.
They do not work for the American people. All of those billions of dollars.
Yeah. So, it's going to get worse before it gets better, but we just got to hang in there.
And, I hear you. I've got to get going because we're coming to the end of the program.
All the stuff you do, and I'm going to get up that way someday to your church.
Yeah, come on up. We'd love to have you.
2 hours. And, yeah. That'd be nice.
That would be great.
Yeah, you enjoy the rest of your evening, and I'll check back with you.
What station are you listening to me on there?
106.5 FM.
Okay. All right, very good.
Are you on different ones, or is that the only one?
No, I think there's two out in that area.
Okay. Cool.
But, all righty, well, I thank you very, very much.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, yeah, we're on one, and also we're on one in Toledo. Also out there. How much? Hal, you got 6 minutes. Go for it. I'll give you a minute warning.
Okay, the Bible says in Philippians 2:6, talking about Jesus Christ, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And Jesus Christ is the only one that ever lived that can claim to be equal with God. He made the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, rose the dead, and healed lepers, and nobody ever did that. Muhammad never did that. None of the gods of the Hindus ever did that. Nobody or anything could do what Jesus Christ did, because he was God in the flesh, reconciling the world unto himself. Everybody that would come to Calvary and repent of their sins and ask him to receive, to give to them the payment, he paid for them on that cross. And John 10:30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. You can't get any plainer than that. Revelation 1:8 said, I am Alpha and Omega, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. So there Jesus Christ is claiming to be Almighty God. Then Hebrews 1:8, God says, Thy throne, O God, talking to Jesus, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So there you got God the Father addressing Jesus as God, capital G. And 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So there the Holy Spirit is saying that Jesus is God, capital G. So you got Jesus saying he's God, the Holy Spirit saying he's God, God the Father saying he's God. Who in the world is, all these other religions of the world are bankrupt where it comes to comparing themselves with Christianity, with Jesus Christ and everything, and with salvation. Jesus is the only one that can save. That's why he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's not by Peter, Paul, Mary, your good works, church membership, getting water baptized, or any of that nonsense. It's when you come to God and you say, Lord, you know I'm just a dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinner on my road to hell, but I here and now come to you, confessing my sins, being sorry about the fact I'm a sinner, and asking you to come into my heart and give to me the payments you paid in my place in full on that cross. You see, folks, when Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sin you've ever done, every one of them. There's no sin you've done or a bunch of sins you've done that's so bad that the blood of Christ can't wash you and make you clean. That's why he says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That's the great news, through his blood. So it's when you come to him, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved, that's saved from hell through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody's going to be walking around heaven patting himself on the back and saying, I got here because I was such a great person, because I helped old ladies cross the street or gave money to the church or anything else. They're going to be giving Jesus Christ all the praise for getting them there. Now, God hears me talking to you right now. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. That power is God's Holy Spirit. So it's when you pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and give to you that payment he paid for you on that cross, trusting him in simple childlike faith, that he does that. Because you see, God wants you to be saved from hell a million times more than you could want to be, but he's given you the choice. It means more to God that you come to him wanting to be reconciled to him through Jesus Christ and the payment he paid for you on that cross than anything else. And so that's why it's a free gift. He did all the work, and right before he died on that cross, he said, it is finished. So, folks, whether you go to heaven or hell now depends on what you do with that finished payment that Jesus paid for you. And Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, to call us to pray. Now, like I said earlier, God hears me talking to you right now. God knows what's going through your heart and through your mind right now. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's your heart. If any man hear my word and open the door, I will come into him. You're hearing his word right now. So God's leaving it up to you, whether you, from the inside, will open up that door and invite Jesus to come in, being sorry about the fact you're a sinner, and receiving the payment or not. Now, if you want to receive that payment, God's, God's offering to come into your heart right now in a simple prayer. And I'd like to suggest we say a prayer together. And I'll even lead you a few words at a time if you'd like. But even though we're praying together, it's strictly between you and God, because only you can open up the door of your heart and let Jesus come in. So let's pray. Oh, dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. I believe, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross and shed your blood for my salvation. And I here and now ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, and save my soul. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. And 1 John 5:13 says, if these things I've ever written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that means because that received him, that you may know you have eternal life. And how can you know? Because God says so, and he cannot lie. Go ahead, Pastor.
All righty. Very good. Well, we're out of time again for tonight, and I want to thank you for being there. And again, remember the prayer breakfast tomorrow. We're going to be meeting in prayer. And so, as we come to this point, as we do every night at this time, it's time for us to say, well, good night.
Good night.
And we got to say, God bless. God bless. And then we say, always. Okay. And we do mean always.
Yes.
Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.